In your Scofield Reference Bible, turn to page 1248, and we'll be reading verses 14 through 18. Galatians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, the text verse being the 17th verse. Let's stand, all of us standing, for the reading of God's Word. We'll read the verses responsively, these five verses. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Together also on verse 18. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And let's pray. Father, it's a wonderful, wonderful privilege to be able to come, to have the freedom to gather here. Though we see our freedoms threatened from many places, we pray that you'd give preservation of that freedom that we've so enjoyed. And we pray that we'd be responsive now to the preaching. We believe that's what's going to help. The preaching of your word. Thank you for faithful preaching, for faithful preachers. Thank you for our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Very fitting that Brother Ed would sing this morning, since he was one of those who was with us 23 years ago. I want to thank him, and I want to thank Ray Fordway for choosing the special he chose this morning. I think maybe he had method in that choice. And to whatever part Miss Colston had in it, the choir, I want to thank them for that special song, which is, of course, one of my two favorite songs. Did you ladies ever work hard to prepare a meal and the folks didn't show up that you were going to feed? Did you ever fix your husband a good meal or your family and he went out with the boys that night? And remember that? That was the day before you went home to mother. Remember that? And so on. And you would have stayed with mother, but you couldn't get along with mother either. That's preaching, isn't it? Oh, man. So I grieve when people don't hear what I preach, because I preach what I preach. I go to my office every Sunday night. Before I go home, I sit down after everybody's gone. The last thing I do, I sit down at my desk and I relive the day, and I ask myself, what do my people need next Sunday? And before I leave the office on Sunday night, usually I know at least the direction I'll be going the next Sunday. And then people choose to take a weekend trip, not hear, and never hear that sermon again. It's all over, never hear a truth that I feel like they'll need, never be preached again here. And they teach in a school, and school's out for a few days between summer school and college, so they take off somewhere just to get away for the weekend, and they miss it forever. And some folks will come, busy talking, and or take a nap, you're in church and miss it. I feel like you ladies feel, except add 100 times to that. This morning I want to speak to you on the subject, whose slave are you? Whose slave are you? And I want you to listen, because not only will you be, I think, inspired to do better, I also think that you'll learn something that perhaps in a new way you never learned exactly or heard exactly like this before. Father, bless the message to our hearts. Please give me the ears of the people for these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. If a servant belonging to a master decided to take sanctuary in that master and his household, he was marked by a long instrument, a puncturing kind of instrument, that punctured his skin and put a mark on him. He was called, the word mark is called stigma, just like somebody says there's a stigma against somebody or some organization. It was a stigma, a marking on him somewhere on his body that let the people know that that servant or that slave took sanctuary and decided to live and give his life to one household and to one master. Now, that servant could not be touched so much as touched anybody else. I mean, nobody could even touch him because he was the slave to another master. When a man or young man went into the military service as a raw recruit, he had to prove himself to the service. And then, once he proved himself, he was tattooed with a sharp instrument, and that tattoo was a mark called a stigma. Now, I do not know where the tattoo was located. Perhaps there were different choices. But it was called a stigma. And that man was then a regular Army member, owned with the Army, and nobody could offer him another position. When cattle were free of indebtedness and completely owned by an owner, the cattle received what was called a stigma. It was placed on them, and nobody could as much as touch one head of cattle that had the stigma of another owner or master. Now, Paul says here that he bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Let no man trouble me." Now, what did he mean? Paul wasn't saying he wasn't concerned about people. At this time in his life, he was spending more time and more of his life helping people than any other time of his life. Paul said, "Let no man trouble me." What he meant was this: let nobody touch me. I'm another man's servant. See, I have the marks. He could point to his haggard, wrinkled face. He could point to his white hair. He could point to his bent figure. He could point to his dullness of sight. He could point to his trembling hand. He could point to his forehead seamed with thoughts. He could point to the scars he had worn since the beatings at Philippi. He could point to the scars he had worn since the stoning at Lystra. He could point to the scars he had owned since the shipwreck at Miletus. And he said, "These scars, these stooped shoulders, this seamed forehead, these wrinkles, these scars of beating and scourging and stoning and shipwreck," he said, "all of these are marks of the Lord Jesus Christ." But the word is used there, the word stigma. Paul had said, "I belong to Jesus like a steer belongs to its owner, that's marked and sealed and stigmatized." He said, "I bear the brand." And he said, "The brand that I belong to Jesus, you will find it in the scars that I bear for the gospel of Christ." Why, he said, just like a slave is stigmatized by his master when he decides to seek sanctuary in his master's household and is stigmatized or marked or branded. He said, I belong to Jesus that way. And he said, "These marks that I have, they're only brands or marks or they're stigmatisms of the fact that I am a bond slave to Jesus Christ." He said, these marks, he said, just as much as a raw recruit in the armed forces has to prove himself, and once he proves himself, he receives that tattoo, that burning on him that cannot be removed, that lets people know he's in the Army. He said, as much as a soldier, a lifetime soldier, belongs to the Army and the nation, the government, as much as a lifetime slave belongs to his master, and as much as a head of cattle or a steer belongs to its owner, he said, that's exactly the way I am to Jesus Christ. He said, "These scars are tattoos. These scars are simply stigmas of the ownership of my life by Jesus Christ." Now, follow me carefully. A person could have two bosses, But a person could not, turn me down just a trifle, please. A person could not have two owners. He could work for two people, have one job here and moonlight, have another job somewhere else. But he couldn't have two masters. He couldn't have two owners. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You love the one, hate the other, or hate the one, and love the other. He said you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't love money and love Jesus. You can't serve money and serve Jesus, he said. You can't love the world and love Jesus, the Bible said. Any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, he said, you can't be, and you can be employed by two employers. You can work for two bosses. But he said, when you decide not to be just a worker, but you decide to be a slave, and you decide to be a bond servant, he said, you're owned, you wear the stigma. He said, you can't be owned by two masters. Now, hear me carefully. Everybody in this room today is a slave. Hear me again. Everybody, from that person in that corner, that person in that corner, back here in this corner, back here in this corner, all over this great auditorium, everybody in this room this morning is a slave. No one is ever freed from slavery. Hear me now. He just goes to a higher master. One master rescues you from another, and you simply enter into a higher servitude. Did you ever wonder, for example, why folks come down the aisle and say, I'm going to quit smoking? And they mean it. They intend to quit smoking, but they don't quit. They go right back to the cigarettes, right back to the tobacco. But now they meant it. They weren't hypocritical. They didn't walk down the aisle just to get attention. They meant it. I am going to quit smoking. Now, why did they go back? You ever wonder about that? You ever wonder why somebody comes down the aisle and he says, I want to give up drinking. I'm not going to drink. We have men in this room this morning. So I hesitate to say good men, but I say it. Apart from drinking, they're some of the finest men I know. I could name three men this morning in this room who are alcoholics. Now, I mean, they're good husbands other than that. They're good fathers other than that. And they're good citizens. And by the way, all three of them, they're more than three, I'm sure, but all three of them hold down good jobs. And they're good citizens. They're simply slaves to alcohol. Now, you want to know why those men... I have heard two of them pray the prayer, Dear Lord, I'll never drink again. And they meant it. They're sincere. They're good men. I love them. And I'm glad to have them come in to the services, and I'm glad they're here. But did you ever wonder why good men? I'm not talking about men that just in an emotional fit. I'm talking about men who say, I don't want to drink. I know my wife hurts my wife. It hurts my children. It hurts my life. It hurts my family. It hurts my job. It hurts my mother. Hurts my father. And I know that. And I'm going to quit. And they mean it. But they don't quit. You ever wonder why they don't quit? I'll tell you why they don't quit. Because they're giving up a slave. But you never give up a master to which they're a slave. But you never give up a master unless you trade that master for another master. See, you don't go from slavery to freedom. You go from slavery to higher slavery. You don't go from servitude to freedom. You go from servitude to a higher servitude. You don't go from being mastered by something to being completely free. You go from being mastered by something to being mastered by something higher than that master you had before. So here's a fellow walks down the aisle, and he's going to quit smoking cigarettes. And he means it. What happens? There's a no man's land. Here's the slave. Now watch me carefully. Here's the slavery. And that slavery is the slavery of tobacco. And it's just as much dope addiction as heroin. Nicotine's narcotic, and you're a dope addict, and you men that smoke, don't get upset about your children who you smoke pot, because you're as much a dope addict as they are. And I'm saying that here it is now. And it has you bound. I mean, the nicotine has you bound. And you want to get rid of it, and you walk down the aisle, and you say, I'm going to get rid of it. And for a while you do. Here's what you do. Here is your slavery of nicotine. And here is becoming a slave to Jesus Christ. Now, what you do is you come out of the slavery of nicotine, but you don't come to the slavery of Jesus. And you float around in between here,
not a slave, no master, no servant, just out naked. Now listen, the honest truth is, either you will come up here and become a slave to Jesus, or you'll come down here and become a slave to nicotine again. See, a slave can't deliver himself. A higher, stronger, more noble master has to come, as it were, to free you from the obnoxious master, and he alone can free you, and you cannot free yourself. And that's why you mean to quit smoking and don't. And that's why you mean to quit drinking and don't. Because you cannot stay in limbo. You either reach to a new master or return to the old master. And that's the problem. That's why hundreds of people in this room, ladies, they're ladies in town, you've tried to give up the afternoon soap opera. And you ought to do it. They're as wicked as the devil, and you know they are. And you ought to do it. You ought to give them up. And you mean to. You come to hear me preach, and you know it's true. You know what I say is right, and you know this morning. And yet some of you this morning will say, I'm going to do it. But as sure as I'm standing here, within 5 days, you'll have that garbage on your television set again, and you let the devil pipe that illicit kind of heathen living into your living room, into your mind again, and you'll do it. You know why? Because all you did was give up a slave or master and gave up slavery. But you did not come to him who is your master and give yourself lock, stock, and barrel to Jesus Christ. And because of that, you slide back your master. Listen, nobody is going to stay free. Nobody. Nobody. Everybody in this world is a slave. Now, the only way you'll be freed from bad slavery is to be rescued by a good master. Don't you recall what Mary Magdalene said? She said, Master. She didn't say God. She said, Master. She didn't say only Savior. She said, Master. Master, the tempest is raging. Master. Master. That master, there's no master without a slave. When Mary Magdalene said, Master, she said, I'm a slave to you. Now you listen to me. Listen. You choose your master. I'm not talking about your boss. I'm talking about your master. You choose the one who controls you. You choose what put you in fetters. You choose that thing that completely controls you and orders you, and at whose command you bow and whose orders you obey. You are a slave. Oh, you say, I'm not a slave. I'm free. Now, you're a slave to this new morality. You're a slave. Now, there's no way, people, that you... I know folks in this room this morning who don't tithe. And I'm amazed at how glibly people talk about their don't tithe. I've had 4 families this week in my office say to me, of course, we don't tithe. I just as soon you say, well, of course, we rob a bank every once a week. Never rob a bank. Now, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I mean, the honest truth is, if you don't tithe, you're crooked. I'm dishonest, like a bank robber's dishonest. And so you say, I'm going to tithe. But now the reason you don't keep your promise is because you're taking that thing. Listen, tithing should come as a result of having a master. And when you tithe because you're obeying a master, then you don't quit tithing. Because if you have a master, you're his slave. You're given to him. But if you isolate this and say, I think I'll start tithing. You will. That's what you'll do. You'll start tithing. But you're a slave to mammon. You're a slave to money. You're a slave to your own. And by the way, you don't have to be a millionaire to worship money. You're a slave to it. You say, well, brother, how's I can't afford to? Listen, you mark it down. If God be God, this Bible be true. God's going to get 10% of your income. Now, it may be in doctor bills. It may be in hospital bills. It may be in a car wreck. It may be in losing a job. But you mark it down. Every person in this house today, from the back row to the back row up here, every person, you give 10% whether you want to or not, God gets it. Now, what you better do is let go and get right with God. Let him be your master and let God have it so you can get credit for it in the books of heaven. But you see, the reason that you don't tithe, the reason you quit tithing, is because you made the issue, I'm going to start tithing. When the issue is far more noble than that. The issue is, I'm becoming a slave. And then you are captured. Here's a young man who smokes cigarettes. He's a slave to them. Now, he says, I'm going to quit, but doesn't quit. He stops for a while and goes back. He says again, I'm going to quit, but doesn't quit. May I tell you how you'll quit? He hears about football practice. And he goes out for football practice, and he wants to make the team. And the coach says, nobody who plays on this team is going to smoke cigarettes. And football captures him and delivers him from servitude to tobacco. What happened? A higher master captured him from the lower master, and he does not smoke cigarettes. Why? Because he wanted to quit smoking? No, because he had another master. Football's his master. He wants to make the team. He gets up in the morning. He runs. He jogs. Why? He wants to make the team. And he does his push-up. Why? He wants to make the team. He doesn't eat sweets. Why? He wants to make the team. What is it? A master has enslaved him and delivered him from the lower masters. Listen to me. You are a slave to something. And if you ever are delivered from your slavery, it'll be when you find another master who delivers you. Here's a young man. And he's not living right. He's not living for God. He knows it. He's a junior in high school or a senior and not living for God. And then he reads a dirty book here and stays up and watches Johnny Carson or some of the heathen and watches movies on his television set, which is just as wrong as going over here to the drive-in movie theater and watches those. He's a slave. Slave to what? Slave to his passions. I am amazed at the number of Hiles Anderson College young men, I hesitate to call young men, who can't control your passions. I'm constantly amazed. Now, but this young man, high school, one day in school he sees her, and palpitations of the heart set in when he sees her. And he says, that's the prettiest girl I ever saw in my life. And he asks her for a date, and she goes out with him. And he writes her a note and says, do you like me? She writes back and says, I do like you. But she's a good Christian girl. And she won't go with a boy that smokes. And she won't go with a boy that reads a bad magazine or goes to the movies. And she won't go with the kind of boy that he's been. What happens? She captures him from movies. He's her slave. Big old 6'2", 185-pound tackle on a football team, just like that. I mean, sits in class and doesn't know what the teacher looks like. A slave! Now, what happened? Does he smoke anymore? No. Why, because he wanted to quit? No. He got captured by a higher master or mistress. He got captured. What happened? He was a slave to tobacco. But he became a slave to that lovely young lady, and she, as his master, came and freed him and unbound his fetters. He smokes no more when he couldn't quit before. He drinks no more when he couldn't quit before. He doesn't read dirty magazines, go to movie houses. Why? Because he has been captured by another master. Now, folks, listen to me. That's why you didn't quit your habit. There are folks all over this house today who tried to quit things and tried to start things when the trouble is not quitting and starting. The trouble is you're going to have to get you a master to deliver you. You've got to change your servitude. You've got to... Listen, I'll be honest with you. I'm a slave. I would say I'm a slave to Jesus Christ, but that sounds too spiritual. So I'll just come out a little more practical and I'll say, I'm a slave to a schedule. I obey it. I'm a slave. My schedule says do this. At this time, I do it. I'm a slave to it. Now, if I said every morning at a certain time I'm going to pray, I wouldn't do it long. But if I draw me a schedule up for the whole week and say, schedule, capture me, I give myself to you, I'm your slave, you're my master,
then that slave frees me from slothfulness. That slave frees me from my servitude to laziness. That slave, the master, frees me from my slavery to a slipshod life. And I have been captured. So, a man can... Let's take the matter of smoking.
A man, a young man, if he wants to quit smoking, he can go out for football and let football become his master and free him from the nicotine which was his master. Or he can fall in love with a young lady that won't go with a fellow that smokes, and that young lady becomes his master, or love for her becomes his master, and he's free. Or that same young man can leave his seat, walk down the aisle, kneel here at an old-fashioned altar, get on his knees, and say, Jesus, I give myself to you. I'm your slave. You're my master. And Jesus, as your new master, will do what your good intentions couldn't do, and your new leaf couldn't do, and New Year's resolutions couldn't do. Jesus, the master, can free you from your nicotine. Now, the reason you didn't keep on quitting, or the reason you went back to cigarette, because you never got it high enough to get the new master. You left the old master. You didn't get the new master. And so here's the old master down here. Here's the new master up here. And so you left your nicotine. The old master rose about this high and expected not to go back. But the law of gravity took you back to the old master. Why? Because if you do not have a new master, you'll return to the old master. The person says, I'm going to start tithing, but he quits. I'm going to quit drinking, but he quits. That's why somebody says, I'm going to read this Bible through this year. There are people all over this house this morning who made a vow to God January 1st, 1982. Read this Bible through. And you're doing it too. You're down to Genesis chapter 3 already. And you meant it. You meant it. And you meant to read this. But you quit it a long time ago. And you know, and the reason you quit it is this. You are not going to be delivered to the Word of God until you get the master of the Word of God to control you. There are people all this house who said time and time again, I'm going to spend 30 minutes a day in prayer. You don't spend 30 seconds a day in prayer. That wasn't that you weren't sincere when you made that vow. You were honest and sincere. Well Brother House, why can't I keep my promises? Young man said to me, half a dozen this week, I have a certain habit that I can't give up. I can't give it up. I know you can't give it up, but you could be captured from it if you let God be your master. The question is, whose slave are you? The question is he your master? I'm saying, you're not going to start praying 30 minutes a day because you made a resolution. You're not going to start tithing 52 weeks a year because you made a resolution. You're not going to start reading your Bible through every year because you made a resolution. You are going to have to someday come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I take you as my master. I am your slave. I obey you. And I'll guarantee you the power of the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit will come down and free you from the binds of liquor and nicotine and slothfulness and laziness and not reading the Word of God and robbing God and free you. Why? Because you have a new master. You're a slave now. You have not become free. You have simply been delivered to a higher servitude and a higher slavery. And ask a question. Whose slave are you? Whose slave are you? I'm talking to a house full of folks this morning. You know, some of you go to sleep while I'm preaching. You know why you go to sleep while I'm preaching? I try to stay awake. I try. Don't you do? You become a slave to Jesus and you'll want to know what He says next. That's your whole problem. That's your whole problem. You didn't go to sleep at the Super Bowl or the World Series. You know why? Because the Super Bowl captured you. The World Series captured you. Let me tell you, folks, all across America, there's a certain kind of a fundamentalism that's trying to walk in the energy of Reformation and walk in the energy of a new leaf. And that is not going to work, and it will not work. Listen, you are not going to go from a master, from being a slave, to being free. You're not going to do it. You're going to go from a slave to be another slave to one thing, to be a slave to something higher. And you're going to trade your present master for a new master, or you're not going to make it. Oh, yes, I'm a free man. I'll say about that tonight. I'm a free man. No. You become a slave. Now you say, Brother House, how do you become a slave? The first thing you do is this. You walk down an aisle in an old-fashioned fundamental church. And you get on your knees before God Almighty and you say, Dear God, I today am making you my master. And I volunteer for a lifetime of servitude. Now, wait a minute. Suppose Dr. Evans, a slave, did that years ago. He goes out the next day and a fellow says, Hey, I want you to work for me. He says, How much? Well, I'll give you twice as much what you're making now. Well, got yourself a deal. But let's suppose that between the time that fellow became a slave to his master and the time his other fellow saw him, he got branded. And suppose this tattoo, this stigma, was burned into him. This other fellow, leave him alone. The devil doesn't have much time to bother with God's slaves. Satan doesn't attack too much God's slaves. He sees the stigma. So what I'm trying to say, what do? Get on your knees and say, Dear Lord, you're my master, I'm your slave. Then the next day, go to work and take a brand with you. Take your stigma. Yeah. I'll guarantee you one thing, they won't ask you if you want a drink. Nobody walked up to you when you're reading the Bible and said, Hey, buddy, how about a shot? You said, I'm getting one right now. Listen. I have had it happen to me on airplanes across this country. I'm sitting there reading my Bible. The stewardess walks up and she says, has her drinks there? She said, You wouldn't like to have a bloody... No, you wouldn't like to have one. You know why? Got my brand with me. Yeah. You see, a brand is not to convince me I'm a slave. It's to convince other owners I'm taken. So what other brand? Okay, how about a fellow's wearing a haircut like Christians ought to wear a haircut? That's your brand. See? The reason that you fellows wear your long hair is that you don't want to be branded. Yeah. I like to be branded. Yeah. I want folks to look at me until I go to First Baptist. Yeah. That's why some of you look cowards. As soon as you graduate, you forget the word barber. And I'm not criticizing you. Come back here looking precious, I think. I think you're cute. I dig you. You're my kind, baby. But your whole trouble, little fella, your whole trouble, little mighty mite, your whole trouble is you are not willing to be branded as a slave of Jesus Christ. That's your trouble. That's why the world touches you. Say, carry your Bible with you where you go, young fella. Get a short haircut and carry your Bible with you and dress like a Christian man ought to dress. And you see how many enticers you get. See how many harlots try to seduce you. Just carry it with you. Just carry it with you. Yeah. It's amazing to me. The same group keeps getting seduced. Same group keeps getting tempted. You know why? You're not branded. I'm saying, get on your knees and say, I'm becoming a slave, and then get branded, get marked. I mean, come to church on Sunday. I mean, listen to what the preacher says. I mean, obey what's preached and taught. I mean, carry your Bible with you. I mean, say grace in restaurants before you eat out and eat out somewhere, and be proud that He is your master. You'll be surprised how easy it'll be to tithe. And you'll be surprised how easy it'll be not to smoke. And you'll be surprised how easy it is not to drink. And you'll be surprised how easy it is to turn the wrong television programs on. And you'll be surprised. You know why? Because nobody is going to be delivered
from one master, lest it be by another master. And you will not stay in that little territory of void between the lower master and the higher master. You will either rise to become a slave of Christ or go back to be a slave of the master who has bound you before. Father, bless the message.